States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thanks everyone for coming out. Next up on the agenda is public comment. This is an opportunity for public comment on all non-agenda items. We're going to keep your public comment succinct in nature to a reasonable duration.
Dave Johnson, 401 West Gale. It looks like the town pump construction contractor has moved its equipment staging load unload site from Main Street and Wiley Drive to the 400 block of West Gale Street. On Monday, June 12, 2023, a medium-sized excavator was walked from Lamping Field across Wiley Drive onto West Gale Street. Then while blocking the westbound lane, the excavator arm was used to lift, push the excavator up onto the oversized lowboy semi-trailer by using the bucket on the West Gale Street pavement, which damages the asphalt pavement surface. Hopefully the city staff has a method to bill the town pump construction contractor for the damage to the pavement that has been incurred in any future occurrences, especially if you're going to start bringing those big scrapers and bulldozers across from Lamping Field, so that we don't end up with the same situation we had on North Third, where the residents of East Helena end up paying for the repair. In addition, that same day, prior to loading the excavator, the town pump contractor then turned off Wiley Drive, then drove the oversized semi-tractor trailer combination eastbound on West Gale Street and southbound on North Third Street, but with the oversized loads, couldn't make the corner and drove onto private property, then proceeded eastbound on West Rochelle, then returned by driving westbound on West Gale Street at a speed, in excess of the posted 25-mile-an-hour speed limit, which is unacceptable on a residential street. The speeding on West Gale Street needs to be addressed before somebody gets killed.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any other public comment? Seeing none, that'll bring us to the approval of minutes for the June 6th, 2023 minutes. You guys have in front of you the minutes from the June 6th, 2023 meeting. Is there any public comment on those minutes? Seeing none, council.
Motion to approve.
And a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
4-0. Aye. Okay. Leads to the city court report. I don't believe there is one in this package.
You guys have the first one of the month.
So then we're to department reports. Amy, with the administration of report.
I attended the audit excerpt interview meeting. I put a copy of the findings on the table if you want to look through those. He doesn't expect the audit report to be done very soon, so we won't be publishing them for a while yet, but those are them, and just let me know if you have any questions on those. I attended a meeting with the Fitlock coach and Nancy Anderson of AARP at the Fitlock Park, KXLH. Maybe the other one. The other one that starts with a K is doing a new story on it. Those classes start on the 26th, and I put a link to the website where she made a really nice page for us, a landing page for people to sign up for the classes. I attended Lewis and Clark Records Committee meeting. They chose the company to do the assessment of what the records need. They should be able to start that job in November. And you'll see in the claims the fireworks donation for this year. I think that's all I got, unless you've got questions.
Thank you, Amy. All right. Chief Sanders, I believe Chief Sanders has a report on the table, correct?
He does.
Nothing of real incredible note there. If you have any questions, let me know. It's pretty basic. As you know, Chief Sanders attends the first meeting month in person, so probably could ask him then. Next up is Kevin Orr with Public Works.
I gotta get up.
Not a whole lot to report on, just a couple, I don't know if you want to call them funny stories, but crews are continuing sewer jetting. We almost lost the rip cutter in Don's Alley, actually, so somehow the cutter got caught on a protruding came out into the main, and when they got to release, somehow it unthreaded itself, so the cutter stayed in the sewer line. So the last time that happened, we ended up digging it up, but we didn't have cameras or anything to know what it was caught on. So luckily the guys, it probably took them about 3 hours of messing with it, but they ran the camera up and seen what it was stuck on. So then they took the camera to the other side so they could watch it and just put the normal jetter head on there and just sat there and tapped it and finally pushed it out to the manhole where they could get it. So anyway, it was kudos to those guys for not giving up and not just getting frustrated at it. Plus, I was really relieved that we weren't digging up a sewer at 6 o'clock. It always happens on, what was it? Was that a Friday? It wasn't a Friday, I guess. Was it? I don't remember what day it was. But anyway, so they did good there. We did, on a more serious note, on sewer backup. So Thursday night, we had a big power outage in town. Power outages, if you don't know, just do not go well for the city. Every time we have power outages, we fry something, whether it's a well house or the sewer plant. Something does not power back up right. The school fights the same issues with a bunch of their stuff, so it's not just us, if that makes you feel any better. But we had a power outage Thursday night. Typically not a huge deal. We have a contact number for Northwestern Energy that gets one of their local guys to call, just because we have no way of knowing on that Montana Avenue lift station, you know, how full it really is. So anything over about 2 hours, we start getting nervous about, just because we don't know if the vault was full when the power went out or if it was empty because there's no level sensors or anything on that. So at like 10:50, Northwestern Energy called and said, "You're back up and running." We thought life was great. I was out at Goose Bay, for full disclosure, sitting in my camper, and apparently I didn't have cell coverage. About 20 minutes later, Colt got a call from the dialer for a high-level alarm in Montana. He thought that was kind of funny, so he jumped in his truck and came down, and the pumps weren't kicking on in auto. So he did exactly what I would have told him to do. He just kicked one pump on into hand, pumped it down, and then him and Tori the rest of that night just came back every 2 hours and turned the pump on manually just to be safe. Thought things are good. I was proud of the guys for doing it. About 6:30 that morning, I started getting calls from residents in that 300 block of King Street that's on the north side. The first one was from a resident that has a full basement apartment. She says, "My basement flooded with poopy water last night." I'm thinking, "Well, that's bad." Well, then I got another call from a resident that they had a backup in it. So, long story short, what we finally found happening was when it damaged the electronics that do the auto feature, that new pump that we purchased has a built-in VFD, which is the variable drive for it, and that's how high the pump ramps up. And it's set at a max limit so it doesn't overwhelm that sewer. We haven't gotten down to, we're still arguing with Xylem Pumps, because they're saying what it did can't physically happen, but it did. But when he turned it into hand, it basically turned that pump up to 100%, so we just overwhelmed the sewer system. So unfortunately, 100% on us as a city. We helped those residents with the insurance claims. MMIA was really good. It's already submitted all the stuff for them. I believe we only have one claim at this point. Everybody else, it just came up to like floor drains and stopped. But that full basement apartment, unfortunately, it's just low enough elevations, and their service also comes in at the bottom of the pipe instead of the top of the pipe, just because of, back then the plumbers plumbed it and thought, "Oh, this is going to be good." So anyway, we apologize if that happened. We're working on, Brad's working with Xylem Pumps right now, trying to figure out a way, even if that feature fails, not to allow it to ramp past that. So we're working on it. So that was unfortunate. Other than that, the only other somewhat super important stuff we got going on tomorrow morning, I have a meeting with DN Tanks and their structural engineers up there. Brad's coming with us, of course, in Austin. And we're meeting inside the tank to assess the floor and try to make sure everybody's on the same page on how we're moving forward with that stuff. So I will keep you apprised of what happens there. But we're working on it. So other than that, kind of the same stuff. Tri-County did make a request, just so you guys know, it'll be coming probably within the next couple of weeks, but Tri-County did make a request to renew our contract. Expired actually a few years ago with them. So they're working on some stuff and just reassessing. I don't expect any major changes, but until we get a proposal from them, I guess we'll see for sure. So, yeah, other than that, any questions?
You have a note in here that flows are high coming into the plant.
Oh, they're crazy high.
So where are they normally at this time of year?
Well, it just varies year to year. So this is the the ground level is really high right now. Last year, we never did see an INI increase. We stayed around that 250, 300,000 gallon, 350, you know, somewhere in there is pretty normal. A few in 2018, we didn't drop under a million gallons a day until like August. So it's really just groundwater dependent. Again, that's also why this slip lining project that will go out to bid this year is important, because I guarantee you if we cammered all those lines that we're going to be slip lining, every joint just probably has water poured in like crazy. All the vaults, the other reason we know that the groundwater is really high is all the vaults at the parks are flooded, which normally they're not. Usually they just have a couple inches of water in them. So
we're pumping up water that's groundwater and putting it through the system?
Well, groundwater is infiltrating our sewer system. Okay, so yeah. So we're treating clean water. That's also, and we have been for the last couple months. That's also why our chemical costs are going through the roof, is, you know, treating clean water is expensive, unfortunately. So the faster we can eliminate as much of that as we can, the better off we are. But yeah, currently, I think today we were still right at like 800,000 gallons a day. So it's a lot. But nothing a person can do other than, you know, treat it and try to eliminate it as fast as we can. Which, you know, the good thing is, part of me almost hopes that next year is the same high water, because it'll give us a comparison once that slip lining is done. Because otherwise, you know, if it's a low groundwater year, it'll just kind of be, well, hopefully that worked. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. But yeah, that's why.
Okay. Thanks.
So, yep. Anything else?
Thanks, Kim.
All right. Oh, the speed trailer results. I guess that's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The,
so I hear noise. I hear people racing. And I'm going to guess that that's what it is. But like a 6 mile an hour down the street.
Yeah, I don't have that in front of me. But yeah, I mean, so if you look at that, I mean, Amy and I, we were kind of surprised at the numbers, but I mean, just under 50,000 total cars, which is 11, I mean, it's 11 days it sat out there. I did the math on it. That's about 3 cars a minute on average, which at first I kind of thought, geez, that seems like a lot. But then I thought about sitting at some of those intersections when I'm picking up my kids, where I'm waiting for 20, 30 cars, you know, in a 30 second period. So I mean, if you look at that, you know, anything, you know, Mike says anything above that 31 is the point where they can start writing tickets.
Well, that's
good to know. Yeah, so that 25 to 30. I mean, if you look at the percents, I mean, I totally agree that, you know, 400, almost 350 cars, 31 to 35, that's something to raise an eyebrow at. There's definitely some trafficking that could go on there. But again, it's 1% of the total amount of cars. So it's a lot. But
it's just a lot more, too, than any of the other streets we've seen.
Yeah, and the only other thing I was thinking of, I think Wiley probably would have been somewhat similar, other than we didn't have it on Wiley as long. So the guys got busy and we left it on Main Street a week longer than we've been just trying to do a week at a time. But
we do share those with the police force, and they
they
patrol accordingly. So that it's been helpful all the way.
Yeah.
And I've seen them down there, but I haven't seen them on this end of Main Street. They're by my house all the time, so I do not even know 31.
I think if the speed trailer would have been a little further east, it would have caught some more higher.
Yeah. It definitely could have, too. And
well, that comes whizzing out of Smith there.
Yeah.
They're not up to speed by the time they were at that trailer.
It's just challenging where to put it, because we didn't want to interfere with the farmer market stuff. We didn't want to interfere, honestly, with the construction guys trying to get water.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys just kind of take their best guess on where to place it. So we'll keep moving it around.
Thanks.
Yep.
Thanks, Kev. Next up is the fire department with Fire Chief Manis. He's live via the internet.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Not a whole lot to report from the fire department. Still moving forward with the merger stuff. Still waiting on the lawyer from their side to come up with a proposal and bring that forward to you folks. We did change out the lock on the door, man door at the fire station. The old door system that we had in there was no longer supported. And the computer that we were running it on is no longer supported either, because it's a Windows 95. You can guess how old that is. That's about 30 years old. So now our thing is internal to the door. It locks, and people won't be able to break into the station. Not that they were, but we're trying to prevent that. Other than that, we're just plugging along. we need to work with to make sure that the calls are covered and the citizens are getting the service they deserve.
Did we lose you, Troy?
No.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
All right. Did you catch everything, or?
Yeah, I think we got you there, bud. Any questions for Troy? None on this end, Troy. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
All right, next up, unfinished business number one. Trippy Parra states, City of Easttown, a letter of understanding. City Attorney Elfra.
You want me to touch on this?
Yeah.
Okay.
You
are not an attorney.
We'll ask you to table this. I can give you an update. So, Brad and Greg Rick from Staley Engineering are working on coming to agreement. I think we finally came up with something today. They were asking to get permission to, if they did the jack and bore underneath the highway and got water and sewer over there, what they were asking for was a temporary tie-in for the first phase or two of only having water there and not continuing that 12-inch main that needs to get continued on the east side of 518 from the McCollum Creek source. We wouldn't agree to that just because it's basically creating one giant dead end. Where even if that system could support 350 homes just coming from the north side of the road, if anything ever happened to that crossing, we have absolutely no way, if it's not looped, to supply all those residents with water. So what we worked on today, we said no, that obviously we weren't allowing that. What they did kind of come to an agreement today finally on is potentially doing a tie-in, basically where the Spelter Road is that Pat went to the bridge over the creek there, doing a tie-in there and looping those first few phases, which would be fine. That loop could stay. The more loops you have, the more it benefits us anyway. I don't think that's going to be very cost great for them, just because not only are they going to have to get on the highway, they're going to have to bore underneath 518 just to eventually run that line. But if they want to spend more money doing a temporary tie-in, we're fine with that. We're not financially responsible for the open group. We're working on that letter, and hopefully by, I guess it'll be the second meeting probably in July, we'll have that for you guys.
So, I think this just ties into the efforts the city is making, being like an agreeable partner and explaining the infrastructure we have and what they're asking for and what they need, but also holding the city's line as far as these are the requirements that are set. So these meetings aren't really captured in the paper anywhere else as far as, there was that one big article and other folks, but the efforts that Kevin and the Public Works Department and the administration do to help facilitate these things, there's some effort that goes into these letters and the agreements and the understanding of these engineering costs and facilitating this type of growth within the city. So I don't want to go unnoticed that this is there's a lot that goes into coming to terms as to how this is going to function. So,
to that end, Brad is representing us quite well, and you guys will see that agreement when it comes to you. But at this moment, we're looking for a table, as they have not came to a resolution on that yet.
Any public comment? Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
4-0. Okay. I'll leave this to number two. I believe we have with us number two, a train depot lease agreement. City Attorney Elbrum and the man with the best looking shirt in the room.
Ugh.
That's right.
I didn't think we'd recognize him.
Rick Pfeiffer, who's representing the Historical Society of this thing, have a agreement in front of you.
that's pretty much what you guys have all discussed. Pete can go over it from our end.
Yep, so what you have in front of you is the lease agreement with the East Helena Historical Society. On the train depot, which currently sits in the City Hall parking lot, as it's stated here in the lease, it is the depot itself is the city's. It was gifted to the city. It is ours. It's been placed on a permanent foundation. It's a permanent fixture of the City Hall. What this lease entails is enabling the Historical Society to run a museum from that location for a 25-year period with the ability to renew for another 25-year period. If there's any specific provisions that you may catch that you want to ask questions about, but generally the main sticking point is what kind of utilities does it need, and how are those furnished, and who's liable for those charges. So we looked at trying, and I talked to Mr. Pfeiffer about, you know, potentially having its own service and own meter and everything, but given its location, where it's at, we'd have to run a whole line to it. What makes more sense, and what we've looked at, and Kevin, you can correct me, but generally what we've worked with Northwestern Energy is just tying it into the city streetlights that run around the parking lot. It's negligible cost. It's only going to be running for 3 to 4 months a year. And there's some language in part 9 here that talks about that. Just generally, it's going to be the spring and summer. It's going to be open. We anticipated having a light and a couple outlets, so they can have lighting and, you know, whatever running in there. But there's no heating. There's no, you know, natural gas or anything. It's just a power line that's kind of tied in with the street lights. Additionally, the maintenance, the East Helena Historical Society has taken responsibility for the maintenance of the building. If we come to notice anything that's, you know, out of standards or just something that we need to have remedied, we give them notice, and they have about a year to fix it or come up with a plan to fix it. They are of limited means, so that's why we give them, you know, a 12-month period to figure out how they're going to finance, whether it's the siding or the roof or whatever, to come up with a plan and raise funds to take care of that. But generally, it's a benefit to the community. It maintains East Helena historical and cultural significance, and in the best interest of the city, given that it is a city-owned building permanently affixed to the property here at City Hall. This is a 25-year lease with a renewal period of another 25 years. And Mr. Pfeiffer, if you wanted to speak.
Sure. Can I speak briefly?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity. And just on behalf of the association, Peter and I have worked together on this. I was on the Y board 3 different times. We modeled this on the YMCA, City of Helena agreement. City of Helena agrees with the YMCA and Helena and the Grand Street Theater building, which the city owns, to lease those for $1 a year. And then, of course, those are much more, there's a lot more to them, and there's liability insurance issues and things that YMCA takes care of, or the Grand Street take care of. Here, you don't have that kind of concern. It's going to be operating very limited time. But I want to just kind of update you quickly, too, on Peter asked me, like, when are we going to know, you know, the signs and whatnot. There's been work going on. There's been groups going from Saturday mornings, working on the windows. We got a quote for the windows, which was so outrageous, that the group decided to do those themselves. So we're working on the windows. The painting inside has been happening. We're getting that painted. We're starting to collect artifacts. We had an artifact person tell us, you know, what kind of artifacts are, you know, how to do that and how to accept them, etc. But anyway, this agreement is, as Peter said, really just to allow us to run a museum there. We will improve it. We will maintain it. We have to put a roof on it as well. We understand that. We've got one grant from Northwest Energy, and we've got a $4,000 bill to do the hookup of the electric, and we plan to pay that. That's our responsibility according to the agreement, and we will pay that. And we've asked again Northwest to give us some help with that. We have a treasury. It's not that large. I did organize and finance another reprint of the book, by the way, and if any of you know anyone that wants Prickly Pear Junction, which that's the way the group started, as you know, probably back. Superintendent of Schools. Thank you very much. Jeez. Ron Whitmore, I can't remember my own names. Ron, back in 2014, was key in getting this thing started. And of course, the folks that started this Prickly Pear Junction book were key involved in this. Iris Matus is one of the founders of that. She's going to be at the parade. She's going to be the Grand Marshal. She's the treasurer of this group. But anyway, we have a small treasury. We're going to sell the book and make some money from that to do raise money to do the roofing. And we have some other grant applications in. There's a lot of volunteer hours going in. As we volunteer labor on the place, we have grant applications that ask for that. And so with the Railroad Association, etc. John Verrills, who I think has appeared at some meetings here, is still involved with this, and he's really kind of the brains behind the depot history and all that sort of thing. Anyway, appreciate your approval, if you would, of this. I think it's going to be an excellent project for the community. It'll be really a great thing for the school kids. I'm hoping, I've been working with Iris, by the way, on, we identified every house in Old East Helena who lived in those, wrote them down, and she's going to go to the directory and find, complete that. I'm hoping to get that in addition to the book and put that online so that when people walk into this place, if they want to identify with their relatives or something, gee, you know, where did our family live? Have some information historically like that available on a computer in here too, which would be the only other electrical hookup in there that we have is something like that. But we have display cabinets in there on storage, some other things in storage in there. A number of the things are stored out at the trolley house. And if you have any questions about the agreement or terms of it, I think it's pretty straightforward and pretty down and dirty. And I appreciate your support of this. Thank you.
Well, yeah, this is, as Mabel said, this is a pretty straightforward agreement. And all the information you guys have already had. And in the spirit of the Guinness, it was $1. If you've ever been to Ireland, the Guinness factory has had a 100-year lease for $1. It's in the floor. And they had to renew it. They throw a big party. It's $1. The family does it every 100 years. It's quite the party, I guess. I've never been to the party, but yeah. So, yeah, that's that. Any public comment regarding the lease for the Historical Society? Seeing none, council.
Motion to approve the lease.
I have a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
4-0. All right, new business. All right, so we have had some reappointment time come up here for some of our boards, and we have some individuals who have been contacted that maybe do not want to do this anymore. So I'm going to let, first one on there is Anna Glicker. And Anna, as a matter of fact, either wants to participate again, or have you gotten older?
She, I think, would prefer not to, but if we don't have anybody, she's willing.
Anna's willing,
she's a yes.
Anna's a, has other things going on Wednesday, but is willing to. So this one might be, you might want to table for a meeting or two and see if we can come solicit some members on the back of the cards for the next bill cycle. I think that those who have done their time and if they want out, then that's certainly.
Anna is the out of the city limits representative.
Is she or she?
Yeah.
She's Ryan. Out of Ryan Loomis.
Ryan is.
Ryan's East Gate, isn't he? No, he lives north.
Yeah, Ryan's the out of city limits.
North of Canyon Ferry.
We have two out of city limits?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Good try. So, anyway, that's right out of Anna. We'll start with her. I guess my recommendation would be to table her until further outreach is sought for other members.
Since they're on one thing, can we do them separately?
Well, we have
Brian and Anna are together.
Yep, yeah, we can do the planning together and zoning together. Next up on the planning is Ryan Lewis. Ryan wants to do it. So the difference is that one needs a tabling and one needs a.
But we can do them separate, not together.
Yeah, because you can definitely have several motions for each individual. Any public comment on any of the planning board reappointments? Seeing none.
Move to table Anna.
I have a motion to table the reappointment of Anna Glicker.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Right. Boston.
Move to approve Ryan.
Motion to approve Ryan Loomis for the planning board.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
4-0. All right, that brings us to the zoning commission. First off the list is Scott. He is winding down his public service
and has chosen to no longer seek a reappointment.
And we haven't heard from Luke?
No, he didn't put up a fight or...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's new information I didn't know.
So kind of same situation, only I would move to deny Scott and to approve Luke.
Any public comment on the zoning commission reappointments?
Seeing none. Council.
Move to thank Scott for his service to the city and not reappoint him.
To deny the reappointment of Scott, it does sound bad. I get it. But
that's
why I added some
table. Probably would have worked just as well.
We could table. It's like you have to bring it up at some point.
Back.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to eventually.
Yeah.
I'll second it.
I have a motion to deny and a second for the reappointment of Scott St. Clair to the zoning commission. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, one of them.
Well, I'll do the fourth one too. I'll move to approve Luke.
All right, I have a motion to approve Luke Cerati to the zoning commission.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Plugged our way through that. Mm-hmm. We will powwow when we get together on Monday and on some methods. I'm pretty sure we'll put on the back of the cards. And see, if there's some people that come in occasionally that put their name in and say they have interest, so we'll reach out to them. It's not super common.
Next up on the new business is the regularly scheduled council meeting on the 4th of July. I say we don't have it because America.
Well, obviously not on the 4th of July, but is there something that needs to be rescheduled?
In times past, it's been handled both ways. You don't really require to have it. You can cancel it. I've seen it done here.
We can always have a special meeting if something
came up. Something comes up. My recommendation would be to not have the meeting. That's
what we're going to cancel it, not look back.
Is there any public comment on the...
Is there anything pressing that we
on the regular
reschedule?
Not currently.
Okay. Honestly, it gives the staff kind of a couple weeks to reset and set some public notices out. So if we want to have a more robust second meeting in July, that'd be kind of helpful.
Yeah.
It could potentially be an ordinance coming forward on the park stuff and the alcohol. So it just some of those public notices take a couple weeks to go forward.
It could be a big one, and that's fine. It's not a big deal. We certainly
sometimes can. It's helpful to roll things forward.
Trey's on board with no meeting. Yes. 4th of July is a very important day here in Easttown, as you all know. I'm certainly not be doing this on 4th of July, whatever we choose to do. But if something pops up, we can certainly handle it. You guys are very receptive to come in if we need it. So, any public comment on the 4th of July meeting?
I just had a question. It looks like your July meeting. Whether you have the 4th or not. The other one was scheduled at 6, so you guys going to start moving them up to 6 o'clock?
That is a typo.
That's a goof.
It's oopsie.
No, we're going to still keep them at 6:30. Yeah.
Okay.
I just had a question.
We have no intentions right now to change the times.
I don't know. They just listed them all at 6.
Good catch. That's a good catch. Thank you for your public comment. Any further public comment? Council. Motion to cancel it. And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
4-0. Cancel it. America. That's government doing America things right there. Good job. Mayor's report. What's the mayor been up to? I came into work on Monday and I was all in here and I don't know where everyone was. I was like, what's going on? That's not true.
It's a holiday.
I still enjoyed that. I did have one meeting I'll get to on that day, so I need to do a little bit of work that day, but not much. As Amy mentioned, we handled the audit exit interview. She has your thing there. That ended up being a federal audit as we went through this, so it's a bit more robust. Wes and Suzanne attended. I appreciate you guys coming. It was a good meeting. We, had a grand old time, super fun. But nothing egregious, some minor things that we can adjust. Amy's got some spreadsheets going forward. We got some good stuff. We'll get that information to you. in HR person, Court Kirk Ferguson, introduce ourselves to some of the pool hires. It's an energetic bunch, far more energy than me. It was good to see them bright out faces, so we met them for like a little bit. Been working with Amy on some information to compile for building permits, so there's going to be a change in that just to kind of put some ideas in front of you. But we've, as you know, we've always gone through Petcha on that. Craig Janisco is our building official. He has indicated that he would like to phase out of that as well. There's some options for us. I think I got some good ideas. I'm working on it. I want to put some numbers in front of you, though. So me and Amy are working on the numbers, and I want to do what's probably the most, makes the most sense for us going forward with the growth we have. So working on that. Just taking all your suggestions, working with Kevin in the budget. When I say working with Kevin, I just really talk to him. Kevin does most of the work, let's be frank. Kevin's great, but we kind of put some ideas together and try to get that just as days go by. We talked a couple times today about things that pop up and just trying to get that information to you as we did last year. I had a meeting with a representative from Para for like real quick, just to say, hey, can we set a meeting with the fire people? I think this was Friday. I haven't talked to them yet. But, so he's willing to do it, and we're going to get that just for that possible joint. There's a retirement implications. We're going to make sure that we handle those legally, so we would like to live in front of them, the fire people. Worked with council member Judy, on the hiring of Kevin, on the hiring of our part-time lawn guy. All reports are he's been amazing. Really impressive kid. Good to see him. This kid that wants to just work hard. He's great so far. last thing today, or yesterday at 5 o'clock was the last day to sign up to be on the ballot. We have one candidate in Ward 1, some guy named Wes Feist. People seem to like him. I think he's going to be a shoo-in. We have one candidate in Ward 2, somebody named Suzanne. So hopefully those people work out. You're looking at some people that have served our city well and want to continue in that nature, and that's good to see. Last and most important to me is this barbecue thing. Mm. Now we're going to talk about some important stuff. Now, as you can tell, I got excited. Folks at Missouri River Brewing are putting up like a real deal official type barbecue cook-off. It's like I had a meeting with them on yesterday on Juneteenth for a little bit, and this all goes to benefit Impact Montana, which is quite an interesting, and they got a little history on that organization. Pretty impressed with them, what they do. We worked through some of the permitting and stuff they're going to have for that. Somehow I found myself to be a judge, which I'm super excited about. That's free barbecue, and I like barbecue. I'm really, really excited about this. Tell your friends.
We should all be judges.
And they're looking for more. Yeah.
It would be a good exposure.
Super excited about this. They intend to do this every year in East Helena. Had a meet with Amy and Kevin today a little bit about this, just some of the city functions, garbage cans, we don't have extra medicine. Been very receptive. They're great to work with. One thing they are going to come and request, and it will probably be officially on the meeting second one in July. That's the next meeting. But it's fine. It'll be before this. The whole event be covered as it is for a nonprofit under one business license, which you guys have done several times. I told them that because this wasn't public notice, I couldn't give them that vote, but I could indicate your receptiveness to it. If you guys would indicate a receptiveness to it, that would ease their mind a little bit. So.
Does it need to be under that, or would it just be under Missouri River Brewing?
So all of these barbecue people that are competing may sell as well. That's an option to them.
There's some clarity coming from the state as well on the business licensing.
Yes.
Efforts from municipalities and what we're able to do now under that law that was passed in this last session. So,
if you're required to have,
there are some complications.
Yeah.
That we're still working through at a municipal level. So, the legislature said if you're required to get a license by the state. Municipalities can't require to get a secondary business license. So what does that all entail, and how do we move forward on that? It, essentially, it doesn't go into effect for a bit, but so there's some complicating matters. But generally, in the past, we've required that most folks, everyone at one of these, any of these vendors get a city business license. That may be limited going forward, and we have for a nonprofit or for events like this in the past, just one blanket kind of license to cover the event.
And that, yep, and that's what they're going to come and seek. And again, this does benefit Impact Montana. I would indicate your willingness, if you had a willingness to tell me that you would support the one business license. That's
too considerate.
They'll consider it, obviously, but seeing a lot of nods, they're definitely considering it.
Oh, I am willing.
Anyway, I'm going to eat so much barbecue about looking at that. Anyway. I can't tell you how excited I am about barbecue.
Especially the chicken. I'm a big barbecue chicken.
I have people come out. They intend to do this and make it a bigger thing. They're not, this, if you look in the upper left-hand corner of this thing, you have the KSBS. And who knew they have this? This is the governs the Kansas City Barbecue Society, which actually has points, so you go to the National Barbecue. So people would come in. It's crazy. They have, like, this. It's all official. They have 14 teams already committed. Some all... couple local ones, like the two local ones are Rockstar and Bad Betty's, are going to compete. But there's people coming in from like other places to barbecue here.
From Helens now that he moved back to Tennessee.
It's a big deal, man.
Yeah, I don't. The Helens guy.
My favorite barbecue, Tennessee barbecue. For the record, put in minutes.
Well, I'm pretty excited about that. So, yeah, anyway, it's the coolest thing I've been asked to do as mayor, without question. Like the more of this. Barbecue's really good. So that's about it for me. Next up, councilor reports. Don?
We had a planning board meeting. Jeremy went over some of the new laws that the legislature passed, and as soon as they figure out what they passed, we will we'll have another planning board meeting to update our subdivision laws, and then we will have to have a zoning meeting for, there's about an equal number of zoning changes, but there's a lot of clarification that has to be done on them before they can put them in writing. They passed a lot of things, but they didn't think about some of them very well. So
that's subsequent to my friend.
Yeah.
Most of those things are targeted at larger communities with more robust enforcement, and the hope would be that larger communities fall on the sword before smaller communities and find themselves.
Of course, the thing to keep in mind is, you know, a lot of those have a 5,000 person limit, so that could be us in five or 10 years.
There's some things with minutes and other things that we're going to have to look into, and so recordings and postings, our website, we just talked about it last meeting. There, it was fairly ubiquitous, the effect that these things had this last session. So there are some real world effects on us and our administration. But yeah, there's going to be some effects.
Anything further about it?
Nope, that's it.
Councilor Leland?
I don't think I have any. Well, I sat in on the part-time parks.
He's a cool kid, huh?
Yeah.
He's a good kid. I like him, yeah.
He's a very good kid.
Yeah. Is it encouraging to see some kids that are like, yeah, I just want to go to work, man?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Councilor Vice?
One thing that I meant to make copy of before and I forgot, but I will get it and I'll have it put in your mailboxes and then it can just be for the public record if it has to be. Was at a Hometown Helena meeting. I go to those every once in a while, 7 o'clock, Montana Club, Thursday mornings, should you be interested. But Jacob Coons presented and he's great, does a good job of representing what is going to happen in East Helena too. But one of the things that they gave was a Habitat for Humanity cost comparison for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. If you rented it, if you qualify and do it through Habitat for Humanity, or if you purchase it traditionally. And it was it's just good to see, and when questions arise as to why and what difference does it make, or how does it help, or whatever the questions may be, it's kind of interesting. So now that we will be, we will have a large community for Habitat for Humanity, I think it'll be just good for you to see. So I'll make copies of it and have it put in your mailbox. That was really interesting.
No, that is interesting.
He presented on it, so if you have questions, I refer you to him. But he was great. Did the audit exit interview. Our MBAC meeting was canceled, but we did approve a loan. We had a separate, just quick call. And then I'm formally asking for a photo of this council and mayor. So I'm having Amy put that.
Do we have good enough cameras? I broke the last three. I'm taking pictures of me.
Amy's trying to schedule.
Any one of those old? I'm not taking the hat off.
Well, I am officially asking for it.
Who makes that rule?
So. Before we get voted out.
You guys have
I will motion that Kelly has to have his hat off for the photo.
Not doing it.
August 1st meeting.
You guys have hair. It's not fair.
You've got some.
Yeah.
I'm not covering that up with my hat.
Turn your head up.
I got none up here.
That's all.
Gone green solar panels, bud. August 1st meeting. Everybody will be here that day.
Yeah. Council member Ferguson.
I went to the audit.
Criminal stuff's been going steady. I had to miss last week. I had some family stuff pop up. But yeah, the officers are great. It's just really nice to have a responsive and receptive police force, and I think the community also gets that. You can see from the traffic stuff, I mean, there are areas, but to catch the 1% would take ubiquitous patrolling, and we're just not staffed to do that. So when you see a 1% is going 60 miles an hour down Main Street, I mean, you got to be there for the one guy. And I do think the enforcement that we do have is far, far above what we had in the past as far as traffic and just the understanding. So, again, I just ring the applause for the fact that we have a police department that is out there and willing to do just general traffic enforcement that leads to a lot more of the other things that they end up finding, you know, driving without insurance, driving while suspended, and the drug stuff that they've found in the past recently, frankly, has been from just general traffic citations, registration being out, just understanding the public and knowing the folks who are driving while suspended. You'd be surprised at how quick an officer can learn the community and knows the vehicles and the folks who should not be out driving and are driving, and observes them personally operating a motor vehicle without a license. Like, it doesn't take long for an officer. I mean, Officer DeBoo and Kirk Johnston have been here for, what, a year and a half now?
Yep.
They know pretty darn well already the folks who should not be driving a car, and they can spot them pretty quick. And they also have learned the community and the houses and the other things. So the in and out, the day in and day out of our police department and having those guys on is something I see every day, and I just want to mention it every meeting I can, that the public understands that we have a police department that's standing. We have a couple new guys coming in. We've approved another position. Hopefully we get that. The grant, cops grant. But with the community growing as it is, just having those folks for a sustained amount of time really is going to pay dividends, and I'm already seeing it on the enforcement end. So anyway, that's about it. I mean, there's been a couple meetings and stuff, but generally that's kind of been my show.
All righty. Barring anything fancy, you would bring us to the paying the bills.
I got a question on them.
Cool.
City website support for $3,000.
Yep, I can answer that one. We brought in Robert Petra and Associates Guru. We, as you know, Ken has left us and is in the wind. Left us with no paths. We still haven't got it all figured out, to be honest. But most of that was for the creation of the pool, being able to do it online, and as well as like getting into our systems and getting passwords, and we really need to like be big boy about our website, which we haven't done to this point. We've had people that want to do it in house, and I think that ship is sailed. I'm not doing it. I don't know. I couldn't put a cartoon on there. I don't know.
Yeah, and we're getting a formal scope of work from RPA, from who does their website design, and they also are affiliated with City Helena. Their website's real nice.
They just redid it.
Yeah, it looks really good. So I'm working on that, and that's just something that we're just going to budget and get something that's just more professionally done and save Amy from having to try to muck our way through the IT things.
We've tried the local route a few times now, and it's just not.
It's hard.
We need a sustainable, like, from administration to administration, from police officer to whoever's next. Like, we need a long-term solution that is not someone who does it.
So that was the very initial cost to get one thing done, and we need to get done with the pool thing. And
yeah, I knew Petra was involved there. I didn't know that the other one had left altogether.
Yeah. I mean, I knew he left, but I thought he was still
helpful.
Helpful, not unhelpful.
Helpful would not be the way I describe it.
The only other thing is the Northwest Energy, is that covered with the trust running the power for $23,000 to the pump house?
So that's for Wiley Well 4, and it's also part of the contract for getting power through Larry St. Clair for we're supplying power and gas to that shop.
But that's all,
it's all reimbursable. Yeah.
But, oh, let's not call it reimbursement.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
We'll argue about what we're
those who didn't later. Those who didn't attend the budget meeting. Yeah.
I would have a lot rather attended that.
I know. Yes. We learned about what is and what is not a reimbursement. We got.
No, you found out from one person that they're
well, the person that had, he who holds the pin writes the song.
I got a question, but I don't. What's that white thing they got in front of the pump house there with the screw end on it? It's been laying out there. Is that the pump?
That's the pump. That's the shaft to it. Yeah, and the coating on it, I forget what it's called, but it's a fancy paint that they coat it with. But it's so long that they have to do it on site. So tomorrow afternoon, they'll actually have two cranes on site to set it, and then they're going to lower it halfway down, and there's a couple joints that they have to paint, and then it has to sit for 24 hours, I think, before they can lump some earth.
Yeah, I just saw it laying out there, and I thought it might be a pump.
It's a pump casing, yeah.
That's the end of my curiosity.
Sure. Any other questions on the bills?
For today.
What?
I said for today.
For today, yeah.
How will we pay the bills?
I have a motion to pay the bills.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. That's our meeting. I adjourn this meeting at 7:22.
Go back to the office.
Yeah. Recording stopped.
Thanks, Rick.
So when is there supposedly going to be done with all that fine pump?
The well house and everything? I don't know. You know, the big, so that we'll get the well pump set.